Well, thank you very much to all of you for being here. It's good to be back in the youth gathering. This is my third one. Raise your hand if this is your first one. Oh, wow. Will you come back? Anybody? Yeah? No? So, thank you so much for being in this session. I really was hesitant to talk about this specific topic, especially because when you turn on the news and you watch what's going on, a lot of people don't want to talk about immigration because the first thing that will come to your mind is, oh, I don't want to talk about politics. So we are not going to talk about politics. We will be talking about Jesus, okay? And our mission as the church, okay? Toward our neighbors. But I will be discussing that in a little bit. Let us begin with some questions that I have for you so I can test the waters right now and check you out a little bit. So how many of you know someone, you don't have to stand up, just raise your hand, who, and this person, this someone can be a classmate, a new teacher in your school, somebody in your neighborhood, the weird guy that's dating your sister, you know, anybody who was not born in the United States but lives in your town. Raise your hand. Oh, wow. Look at that. Okay, good, good. Thank you. Thank you so much. One more. How many of you have wanted to or have already learned something from that person? Let's say you learn a new word in a different language. You tasted a candy from those countries or food from those places. Raise your hand if you... Okay, good. Thank you. That's great. Now, let's get serious here. How many of you have ever wondered if this person knows Jesus? Or maybe you wanted to invite them to church one time, or you wanted to have that conversation with that person, or you are curious about their faith. Raise your hand if this is the case. Okay, good. Yeah. Now, for this one, you don't have to do anything. Okay? Just answer the question to your mind. Okay? How many of you have asked yourself or wonder, what can we do as a community, as people of God, as believers, as Jesus followers, to help our neighbors? Okay. Yeah. Thank you for raising your hand, but you don't have to. No worries. No worries. So, my name is Germán Novelli. I'm a pastor. I'm also a journalist. I love baseball. I love Real Madrid a lot. Above all things, I'm the husband of my wife. I'm the father of my two boys. I have been teaching classes at the seminary. But above all things, above everything else, I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus. I love the Lord, and He loved me even more. And I'm very happy to be here. And last year, I began a new role working for an organization. It's a global organization called Lutheran Hour Ministries. And my job is to produce materials in Spanish for Spanish-speaking communities and congregations and organizations, not just here in the United States, but also in many countries in the world, including many nations in Latin America. So I put there our social media, Para el Camino, which is our podcast that we have sermons and Bible studies and daily devotions. So this is very religious content that we have. And also Sentido Latino, which is a podcast in Spanish that's been heard here in the States, but also in Latin America, hosted by two great friends of mine, Luciano Vega and Noemi Guerra, and is in Spanish, and is amazing the work they are doing. So it's great. Okay, I'm also an immigrant. I was born and raised in a little country called Venezuela. Do you know where Venezuela is? You know, South America, yeah. Okay, good. So, I would like to begin with this. When I was a kid, there was a sign in my grandma's kitchen that said, En esta casa no se habla ni de política ni de religión. In this house, we don't talk about politics nor about religion. That makes a lot of sense because I'm coming from a very weird family, very controversial family where there are many people in there who were from the right wing and many were from the left. And because politics in Venezuela is kind of complicated, each time that we had a family gathering, each time that we were getting together, oh boy, somebody started talking about politics and then they start yelling at each other. And then my grandma was getting crazy about that. And she said, you know what? In this house, we don't talk about politics. Same thing with religion. You may know that in Venezuela, like many other countries in Latin America, the majority of the population are Roman Catholics. However, there were a few of us who were not Roman Catholics. I was born and raised in the Lutheran Church, and there are other Christians in our families. So each time that someone starts talking about religion, oh my goodness. And you don't want to have a pastor in the room either. So, because I was the target from my Roman Catholics family, you know. Now, my grandma thought that by doing this, the problem will be fixed. No. Have you seen Encanto, the movie? So she thought that by saying we don't talk about Bruno, we'll fix everything, right? And I believe that it's one problem that we have in our context, in our churches. We don't talk about Bruno. So politics, we don't talk about Bruno. Immigration, we don't talk about Bruno. Abortion and life, we don't talk about that. The LGBT plus flag in my brother's t-shirt, no, we don't talk about that because we don't want to offend anybody. And we should be talking. We should be listening to each other. We should be loving each other in a way that we can understand the reality of the world in which we live and see how we can shine Jesus' light to people's hearts, right? So today we are going to talk about, as I said, a controversial topic, complex, but we need to talk about it, especially because the organizer of this gathering asked me to do it, so I did not have many choice here. Now, I want you to know two things. Number one, this is a conversation, okay? In a conversation, usually, more than one does the talking. So if you have a question, if you want to add something, if you have an idea, feel free to raise your hand and share with us, okay? This is a conversation. Okay, and I want it to be during the whole presentation. So please do it. Just be mindful of the time of the presentation. We only have a few minutes here and go straight to the point, right? You can do that. Second thing, and this is even more important. If you mess with my English, I will mess with your Spanish. Okay, so be patient with my accent. Please know that I was not born in the United States. I'm coming from a Spanish-speaking country. I'm trying my best to speak in English. So be patient, okay? Don't ask me to speak better. Right now I'm learning Portuguese and Italian. So I got too many languages in my head right now, and one is worse than the other. So ask God to give you a better understanding, right? That will be a better prayer, okay? Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. All right, let's go to the point. Now, the conversation we are having today is called Immigration and the Church. We will share, in the meantime, we will be sharing some real stories from real people, and that's why we are here. So let us begin with the beginning, which is immigration. Hey, I read like 20 different definitions of immigration on Google, different dictionaries. I even asked ChatGPT about giving me a good definition of immigration. I could not find any. So the best one, I had to create my own, okay? So this is what I came up. To move from one place, usually a country, to another. I mentioned earlier that I'm moving next month to St. Louis, Missouri from Wisconsin. So I'm, again, becoming another, one more time in my life, an immigrant coming from one place to another. So when you see this definition, you may realize that somehow we are all immigrants at least once in our lives, or at least children of immigrants. And we will be talking about it. Now, Clint Eastwood, raise your hand if you know who Clint Eastwood is. Okay. My opinion, I don't know what's yours, but in my opinion, this is one of the best actors, okay? And this is actually one of my favorite movies from Clint Eastwood, which is called Gran Torino. Do you see it? I thought that I was bringing a new movie, but then I realized that this movie is almost 20 years old. So you are very young. I'm not going to say that I'm getting older. So, Clint Eastwood, in this movie, he plays the role of a war veteran, I think from the Korean War, that he lives in a neighborhood. I believe he's in Detroit, in Michigan. So he just lost his wife, who passed away. His children are pushing him to go and start living in an assisted living place. He refused to do that. So in the meantime, he starts seeing how the neighborhood where he lives is being overwhelmed by crime and violence and a lot of problems, drugs and gangs and all of that. So there's this gang of guys who are pushing this young man. He is coming from a Hmong family, and I will be talking about the Hmong community in a little bit. So these gangs push him to steal the Gran Torino car of Clint Eastwood. Bad idea, mi amigo. You don't try to steal a car from Clint Eastwood. Believe me. Well, guess what? This guy tried, failed, for sure, you know. And the family of this young man felt so bad about it. They felt that their honor was in trial, you know. They feel bad about it, that they said to him, hey, because you did this, you will pay the consequences of what you have done, and you will go to that guy, you will apologize with that guy, and not just that, you're going to be working around his house a lot, because we cannot tolerate that type of behavior. And by doing so, to start a relationship between this old man and this young immigrant coming from the Hmong community. And I said I will be talking about Hmong community because it's the history about them, it's pretty good. When we think about immigrants, sometimes we think about people coming, you know, by foot through the wilderness, you know, from Mexico to the United States, or those who are coming from Europe or Africa in ships arriving to the United States. But it's not always the case with immigrants. And let me tell you this. Behind every person who somehow becomes an immigrant, not just here in the States, but everywhere in the world, there's always a why. There's always a reason. There's always a story behind that. And that was the case with the Hmong community. This is a ethnic group from China, some areas in the southeast area of Asia, Laos, Thailand, Vietnam. So this community, when the Vietnam War was happening, a lot of people from this community was fighting on the side of the United States. The war ended. Americans' troops left that area, but they stayed. Hated by the others, persecuted. Many of them end up either in jail or even death, punished for helping the United States. So they stay there, and a lot of Christian organizations, a lot of churches, a lot of foundations said, we need to do something about them. We need to help them. And they were able to help the Hmong community and took them out of danger and brought to other places, especially to the United States, and helping them resettle in areas of Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota. And that's why we got a very important population from this community there. Again, leaving a country to go to another place, it's not easy. You're leaving your roots, your family, your friends, your culture, your food, everything. And it's even worse when you cannot even go back. It's terrible. It's terrible because you want to be at the funeral of your grandparents. You want to be there with your friends to their wedding, and you can't. And you just can't. My friends, there's always a why behind every immigrant in the world. I said that we will be talking about real people. Those are my grandparents. They were born in Italy. I don't know if you noticed, but my last name is Novelli. It's Italian, so you have to use your hand. Novelli, try. Novelli. So, back in the 1900s, early 1900s, people in Italy were starving. The whole country had a poor economy. They could not have a job. They could not have anything. And, this guy said, I need to go and do something about it. And back in those days, the only option you had in your life, it was, if you don't want to live like this, you better go somewhere else. And many of them, what they did, they took a boat, a big one, and traveled. A lot of them settled in New York City, Chicago, in St. Louis. I think that there is an Italian neighborhood still. Many other cities in the world are Italian communities. But a lot of them went to South America, to Venezuela, to Argentina. And that's how my grandparents arrived into Venezuela, looking for better opportunities, looking for to flee from that situation. Now, there's always a why, right? In recent years, more than 8 million Venezuelans have left their country. There is a difficult dictatorship happening in Venezuela. I actually cannot go back to my country, okay? And 8 million people is a lot of people in a little country like Venezuela, because we are talking about 30% of the total population have left their country. Now, and this is what's very sad about seeing our people leaving their nation, because a lot of them, the big majority of these 8 million people, did not have enough money to take a plane and go somewhere else, or to take a bus. So they did it by walking. Some of them took the difficult road of walking through the Los Andes Mountains and travel to countries like Colombia, Peru, Chile, Argentina. Some of them prefer the jungle way, and they cross a jungle between the border between Colombia and Panama, and they start walking throughout all Central America until they were able to reach the border between Mexico and the United States. And right there, they requested protection or political asylum or that. Again, there's 8 million whys behind those numbers. This is real people. These are real stories. A lot of them, they did not even make it. They die along the way. So, and human trafficking is, it's a sad reality. I think that there's another session on human trafficking during the gathering. So, 300 million people right now as we're speaking are immigrants around the world. And it's never easy for them. 50 million people are immigrants living right here in our country. Actually, the United States of America, it's a nation of immigrants. And the majority of the immigrants in the world have landed into the United States. And that's why it's important that we are having this conversation, because where others see 50 million problems, we can also see 50 million opportunities to share Jesus, to love our neighbors, to do something about it. All right, 50 million whys we got here. Now, this session is called Immigration and the Church. So we already talked about immigrants, about immigration. Let's talk about the church, the community of believers, the community of faith, the assembly of saints, the family of God on earth, gathered together by the Holy Spirit, loved by the Father, redeemed by Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because we are a community, it means that we have or we share something in common. A moment ago, I spoke about the Hmong community. In the movie Gran Torino, there's a conversation between Clint Eastwood and another character there. I don't know if it was the young man or not, but they were talking about who the Hmong community was. And those of you who watched the movie may remember that it was a very interesting. We Lutherans feel very good about it because the person said, and why you're, you know, Clint Eastwood asked, why are you doing here? Why you are here? And this person replied, well, blame Lutherans because they brought us here. And that's kind of true, you know. In the 70s, there were many organizations, Lutheran churches and organizations concerned about the future of all these people. And they tried to help. They tried to support them as they were rebuilding their lives here, to resettling here. So they helped them a lot. And another real man, real people, a real story. This man you see there, he is Ko Seyin, Pastor Ko Seyin. He's not with us anymore. He lives now with Jesus in Jesus' arms. But Pastor Seyin, I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name well, but I have half hour speaking in a broken English, so don't expect my mom will be better. So he was the first Hmong pastor serving the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. A good friend of mine, a professor, he always was working hard and tireless, not just to plant Hmong congregations across the country, but also training pastors to serve African communities, Hispanic communities, and Asian communities, not just Hmong. So thanks to this guy, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has many Hmong congregations in the country, and many of them are actually here. I'm following them on Facebook, and I'm very happy to see a lot of them here in the gathering. And not just having church every Sunday morning, but also serving the communities with mercy ministries, giving away food, medical assistance, counseling, English as second language classes. So a lot of work is being done to serve the immigrant community here. And it's very important because we all go to churches. We all spend time with immigrants somehow in our schools, in our context, in our neighborhoods, and we all have the opportunity to do something about it. I don't know if you remember the story of the Good Samaritan when some bandits attack a guy. He was a Jewish guy. And then there came the religious leader who saw this guy bleeding along the way. And only one, a Good Samaritan, stopped by and did something about it. But same thing with us. We are seeing the reality of people. We are seeing the struggles of people. And we cannot ignore what's going on. As the church, as Christians, as believers, we need to do something about it. Okay? Why? Because we have been loved. God loved us so much that he gave his only son to die for us. Would you mind to read this Bible passage with me? It's from the Old Testament, the book of Leviticus. God's speaking about us and how we should be treating others. So let us read it together, okay? Let us do it. When stranger comes to live with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. You shall treat the stranger as one of you. and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Please stand up only if you or one of your parents or maybe your grandparents or someone in your ancestors that you know of for sure was born outside the United States. Stand up. Oh, I thought I was the only immigrant in the room, but I see that not, huh? You may be seated. Thank you so much. I see you, and I can see your grandparents or your great-grandparents taking those boats, leaving everything behind from Germany, from Italy, from Norway, from, I don't know, from Peru, Venezuela, Mexico, and coming and going from one place to the other. And this Bible verse is a good reminder because I like when it says, you also were strangers. This is what God meant by that. You were a stranger, or the son of, or the daughter of a stranger, or the grandchild of a stranger. That's why loving immigrants is so important. It's very hard. It's like the commandments. Love your parents. Love your parents and honor them and respect them. So you have a long life on earth, you know. Okay, a lot of people, and I have this question in confirmation classes so many times. So what if? What if my parents don't do good? What if? And that's why Martin Luther was so good when he wrote the small catechism, because he was good in giving people the right context. So when the Bible says parents, is him talking about parents only? All over you in authority. Period. So a lot of time people like try to see a what if or a but when there's actually not much, you know. This is God saying, you were immigrants, love them. Because you were an immigrant too. And I will go back to that topic in a little bit to clarify that a little bit more. But thank you so much for your comment. Now, God has a purpose for us. It's evident in this Bible passage. He loves us. He wants us to know that we are accepted, that we are valued and loved. And when I say we, I say all of us. And in this same way, He is calling us to accept, value, love, honor, respect, and treat each other in the same way that He's treating us, because we don't deserve His love. We know that. But He still loves us. So He is leading us and calling us to love in the same way. I don't know if you know the history of our beloved Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, but our history has a lot to do with who we are, where we are coming from, or how we do things. Remember, everything has a reason. Everything has a why. So let us do a quick timeline here of 500 years to understand a little bit from where we are coming from. 1492, Christopher Columbus came, right, to America. Just 25 years later, Martin Luther nailing the thesis on that church and changing the history of religion freedom for everybody. Okay? The Lutheran Reformation began. A few years later, 1565, the first Spanish town was established in what is now the Florida state, St. Augustine. Have you been there? Anyone? Yeah? Yeah, it's a beautiful town, by the way. 1600s, British and Dutch settlers arrived to the United States. In the 1700s, we start having people from France and Africa also coming here. 1800s, the United States, now free and independent, became very attractive to immigrants. And look at those numbers. 23,000 immigrants were here in 1830. In 20 years, it went to 600,000 immigrants. Between 1820 and 1830, 5 million Germans arrived in the United States. In 1847, the LCMS was officially established by German immigrants. And again, real stories from real people. Let's see this guy, another immigrant from Germany, Pastor Reverend Dr. C.F.W. Walther. Another immigrant. A real story of real people always has a why. In the 1800s, the Saxon kingdom in Germany were having some issues because the government, those in power, said to the churches, there were a lot of reformed churches back in those days, and they said, hey, we cannot handle all of you guys. So instead of having different churches, let us have one, okay? With one faith statement, with one, only one belief, and I got news for you. If you don't like it, we will be killing you, okay? That's easy. So that some people said, hey, but what about my church? What about my confession of faith? How about my Bible? How about my Book of Concord? This is not what we have established here because we like each other. We respect each other. You know, they are pretty nice. But we are not the same. You cannot force us to believe the same just because you want to have control over the church. We also believe in that separation between church and state. So you either take it or leave it. And Reverend Walther, along many other pastors and congregations, say, we should leave. And they left behind their culture, their land, their history, their congregations, everything. And took some ships and traveled from Germany, many of them to other places in America, and some of them came to the United States. And after being here, they established congregations and missions, and boom, they created what we now call the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So Walther was one of these immigrants pastors who was part of that. An immigrant who starts serving immigrant communities of Germans who were established here in the United States. And a few years after that, they remember that they had family, German families in South America, and they start sending missionaries to South America to bring the Lutheran faith to those places as well. Why? Again, should we read it again? Please, with me. When a stranger comes to live with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. And you shall love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. By the way, speaking of Egypt, another real person, another real God, another immigrant. Do you know that he was an immigrant too, right? Do you know the Christmas story, right? What happened? The three wise men came. Well, we call them the three wise men, but we don't know if there were actually three. Los tres reyes magos. The wise men came, visit Jesus, honor him, worship him, you know. And then what happened? Matthew chapter 2. Somebody would like to read it for me so I can drink my water at peace, please? Yes, go ahead.
When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you. For Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophets. Out of Egypt I called my son.
Out of Egypt. So Jesus taught us a lot about loving immigrants. You may remember that as well. Loving strangers. Samaritans were hated by Jewish communities. Even those Samaritans who were Jewish, they were treated like Samaritans of second class. Okay? And Jesus always was putting Samaritans like, hey, look at this good Samaritan. Hey, look, these Samaritans, you know, to tell us that good things are in every single culture, and that God makes no distinction. He loves us all. So with this in mind, the church insists on a ministry support to aliens who live among us. And by the way, I never liked that word at all. Alien. I'm not, as you can see, I'm not as English-speaking people, but do you think that the word alien is a nice word to call somebody? Any expert on languages here who would like to say something about it? About that word, alien? Okay, that's good to know. Thank you. Thank you so much for the class. That's great. Do you know the meaning of the word gringo, right? Have you heard that? Do you feel offended by that word at all or not much? I don't use it, honestly, because I don't know. I don't feel comfortable calling somebody gringo. If I call you gringo, oh my goodness, you are taller than me. Same thing with alien. I don't know. I'm not saying that's a bad word. It's just, let me tell you this. When I moved to the United States, before getting my first driver license, before getting my social security card, guess what I got? I got my alien number given to me by immigration. So this is the first thing I got when I moved to the United States. And when I saw alien number on the paper because of the movies and everything, I felt like this guy. I hope younger generations know who this guy is. Well, let's call them immigrant families. Many churches have ministries that assist immigrant families. There are a lot of organizations created by Lutheran churches in the United States serving immigrants' communities everywhere. I will say that almost every single district of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod have ministries serving immigrants, helping immigrants, communities, and serving those who are different. And we do it especially because we know our history. We know who we are. We are a church formed by immigrants, and we believe in a God that's all the time calling us to love immigrants and treating them like one of us. During my times in the church, I have been here in the United States for 14 years now, and I had the privilege to work at the seminary training immigrants, pastors, and deaconesses. I have been now producing materials for immigrants, but also relating to missions that work among Asians, Africans, Hispanics, Asians, even Middle East ministries. And it's amazing. And that's my invitation to all of you. If you are interested in learning more about this, believe me, in the church's website, in your district, or talk to your pastor or to your district people and talk about, hey, what can we do to involve our context, our congregations, our schools into mercy ministry or mission ministry among those who are different? It is true that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, these are numbers, is mainly a Caucasian church body. We know that. I will say that about 95% of the people who belong to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod are white. Is that a problem? No. Again, we need to start seeing problems or what where others see problems, we can see opportunities. It might be a good opportunity for us to say, hey, how many of my immigrants or other ethnic groups don't know Jesus? That's the beginning. And how can we bring the gospel to them? Not because we want a more diverse church, but just because there are a lot of people in our context who needs to hear about the love of Jesus, who don't know about Jesus. Enduring in Christ is about taking ourselves out of our bubbles, our comfort zone, and do something about it. For me, enduring was that. Was, hey, yes, I can present the gospel in Spanish to Hispanic communities, but what if I learn English and I can preach Jesus to other groups? What if I learn Italian or Portuguese or other languages? Or what if I just take the time to pass messages to people? Doesn't matter who they are, where they're coming from. This is what we do because we are the Church of Jesus Christ. This is what we do because we love the Lord and we know that He loves us even more. This is what we do because there are a lot of whys out there. There are a lot of people who need us. Now, being 95% white church makes us racist? No, not at all. We're not a racist church. Yes, there are racists in our churches. We know that. We cannot change that. That's part of our sinful nature. But we as people are here to ask for forgiveness, be restored by Jesus, and go out there and love our neighbors. Xenophobia? This is hating immigrants or racism. This is, you know, attacking others because of they are from other ethnic groups. Discrimination, this is disregarding people because of their nationality or their color or their political ideas or whatever. You know, this is, take out this or your life, okay? Delete it from your heart, your minds and everything. And instead, love. Love your neighbor. Love those who are not like you, who were not born here. Love. And encourage your family, your church, your schools, your community to serve others. To serve others. I was talking about resources, and in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod created many years ago this document called Immigrants Among Us. It's a document, it's an official document on immigration. And I use it many times in Bible studies. Find it, give it to your pastor and say, Pastor, we need to talk about this. Or to your family and try to learn more, to try to learn more about this topic. Why? Because there is a why. And what is yours? What is your why? Yours is that God loves you and doesn't see your nationality or your ancestors' country either. He sees you with the eyes of grace and mercy and love in Jesus. Yours is that you serve the Lord. Yours is that He is calling you to serve and love immigrants. Yours, your why, is that when we love others, we are actually being instruments of God, loving others through you. Yours is that God loves you so much that He gave His Son to die for you. Okay, let me finish with a couple stories here. This is a good family of that I met during my time in ministry in Wisconsin. I will not say their family name, but this is Edmundo and Beatriz and their four children, Alex, Amy, Oscar, and little Ruby, who, as you can see, is not little Ruby anymore because that was her quinceañera party last week. Do you know what a quinceañera party is, right? Have you been in, you know, for the 15 years? Have you been in one of, you know, that? Are those good? Do you have fun? They are a blast. Actually, my next conference for the next gathering will be about Hispanic parties. I will teach you great stuff. So, you know, the Rosales, Edmundo and Beatriz, they got married, and their little town in Oaxaca, Mexico, was having a lot of time, no jobs, no food, and they decided to find a new opportunities moving to the United States. They did not come by in a bus. They did not come in a plane. They walked through the desert until they reached out to the United States, and they have made their life here, raising their kids here. And along the way, they found a pastor, a Hispanic pastor, who started telling them about Jesus. They were baptized. They learned the small catechism. Edmundo actually went to the seminary to become a Lutheran pastor. They all went to Lutheran schools, and they are faithfully going to their Lutheran churches all the time. And it's amazing what the Lord is doing through them. Was life easy for them? No. They had to learn a language. They did not see their family for many years. They had to struggle. They had to suffer discrimination because of who they were. But that did not stop them or remain faithful to the Lord, to the church. And I see them every Sunday morning. I mean, I know of churches making huge efforts to support families. With legal advice, attorney's fees, that kind of stuff. That's something that some churches have been doing. Now, it's beautiful, the heart of someone from their leadership position within the church saying, hey, we got this situation. We want, I'm not saying that this is the case of this family, but in many cases, I have seen churches and districts and leaders and people trying to fix this type of situation from a legal standpoint. Now, we need to know that there's not always is possible. Sometimes it's just impossible. There's nothing you can do. And the other thing that we need to remember is that, yes, it's good that you have the intention to try to help somebody to get out from those immigration status, but that's not what we do. We can support you. We can give you the instruments. We can, but we are here to share the love of Jesus. And it's great that we are. I have been involved in so many cases in which I myself call attorneys and been there. But there's a lot of things involved, and this is not what I'm saying. I'm just trying to say, hey, yes, we cannot change the legal status of all the 11 million illegal immigrants that we have in the United States. But we can tell 11 million people that Jesus loved them. And that's the mission of the church. And we can do even more than that. Okay? I cannot fix the problem. But I know one who can do it. Okay? And from our, you know, I have talked to senators, to congressmen, to people in power to say, hey, we need to have open conversations about this and see what we can do. Are there criminals among immigrants? Oh, yes. And that's another thing. But it doesn't respect to the church. I mean, it's not the church business to deal with crime or violence. No. We are here to proclaim Jesus Christ, right? And to love our neighbors. Jesus, there's no what if here. We love them. We know that there's a why behind each story. But our role is to present the gospel, share Jesus, pray with people, support people, make them part of our families, and that's what we do. Okay? But yes, thank you for your two questions have been pretty good, let me tell you. Would you like to stay for the next session? Another family, and with this I will finish. This is Juan, Nina, this is Lucia, my wife. She's only smiling when she's next to me. Myself and Lucio. So Juan and Nina and Lucio are here. They're from Venezuela and they are here requesting protection and asylum in the United States. They have not seen a judge yet, but they have the right to have their stories being heard by an immigration judge who will decide whether, you know, their story is real or not, and make a decision regarding their immigration status. But since they came at different times. They all stay in my basement for a while when they were settling here. And what you see there, I don't know if you can tell, but that's a storage unit. There are a bunch of stuff there. And those stuff are not from them. Those are my stuff, our stuff. So Nina, Juan, and Lucio, since they came, they have been so helpful to, just in the way that we have been helping them, they have been helping us a lot. And they were the ones helping us to move and putting all our stuff in a storage until next month when we are finally moving to St. Louis. So what I wanted to say with this is when we make people part of our families, when we make people part of who we are and our context, our reality, it's not just us helping you. When we make people part of the families, when I need help, you will be there for me as well. And Juan is a wonderful musician. And I ask him so many times, Juan, I need you this Sunday morning here. He's not a morning person. And he reminds me of that every time I ask him. but I need a guitar player in my church this morning because I don't have a musician. I need you to come and play for us in worship. And he did it. And when I was moving, Juan, I need your help. Please come. Because that's what family does, right? We help each other. It's not the church helping others because we are so good, we are so heavenly and so powerful. No, we help each other. And welcoming each other makes family, makes us family, okay? Remember the story. The Good Samaritan story. Loving your neighbors, not seeing your neighbor bleeding and attacked by criminals along the way. You see it, you feel sorry about it, you feel bad about it, but you continue walking and ignore the situation. No. Loving your neighbors, stopping by and doing something about it. The little or much you can do, but you do something about it because loving is not just a feeling. Love is also action. It's doing something. That's what it means to endure in Jesus Christ. Not just feeling pity about the realities and the whys of others. It's about doing something about it. ¿Dónde están los nietos de Marcos? ¿Se pueden parar un momento, por favor? Their grandfather was a missionary who served in Venezuela for, I think, like 30 years in Venezuela, maybe more than 30 years. Bringing the Lutheran faith to Venezuelan communities where no one else wanted to go. He was there with their grandma preaching Jesus Christ. And they met my father. You may sit down now. They met my father, who was a Baptist pastor back then, taught him about the Lutheran faith. My dad became a Lutheran pastor. And when I was born Lutheran. Thanks to the work that, by the way, your grandparents sent missionaries to my country 60 years ago, and that's why now you have a Lutheran pastor from Venezuela telling you, you know, so thank them about it. So that's how I became a Lutheran. And their grandfather, when I was born, he came to visit me and he held me in his arms the day of I was baptized there. So we need to appreciate the work of missionaries doing amazing things, not just in Latin America, but in many other places. Now, was it easy to grow up Lutheran in a world where 95% of the people is Roman Catholic? No, it's not easy. But I got a lot of friends who are Roman Catholics. You know, they're still Christian friends. You know, that's a huge distinction between law and stay. Does the church have the call to deport people? The church doesn't do that. The church welcome people, love people, accept people, value people. Does the government have the authority and power to deportate people? Yes. That's what the government is called to do. What the church can do? Ask for mercy and understanding the why of people or not. We are here with a different mission. To love immigrants, to serve them, to welcome them, to accept them. So I'm not saying that it's the role of the United States or the, you know, there's a huge separation between church and state. As a Christian, we love immigrants. We accept them. We value them. As a citizen of the United States of America, you have your right to vote or choose for whatever you feel is the best for your country. And that's why the Bible verse I share with you is so important because it says, love immigrants. Why? Because you were immigrants too. Love sinners. Why? Because you were sinners too. Love those who drive fast on the streets, you know, over the speed limit because you do it as well. You need to see how my wife drives these days. And that's a human thing. I want you to know this. This is a human thing. This has nothing to do with the United States. In Venezuela, my grandparents who came from Italy became the target of a lot of Venezuelans who said, hey, Italians suck, they should leave the country. And you have to see in the Dominican Republic how they, you know, that the Dominican Republic share the same island with another country, Haiti. And you have to see how the Dominican Republic people treat Haitians because of where they are coming from. So it's a human thing.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. So So I know that there are more people raising your hands. I'm so sorry, but we need to move on. Thank you so much for being here. God bless you. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.